And joining us today is the lovely, the talented Michelle Mangione. She is a songwriter and acclaimed drummer. And she released The Edge of Madness, the single we just spoke with Gracie Slick about. And Gracie wrote the lyrics, and Michelle wrote the music. We're going to talk about that in just a little while, but we want to talk about her first. So let's, Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, actually. You know, it's cool. Life can be a dream. Shaboom, shaboom.
Right. I'm doing good here in sunny Los Angeles, California. Actually, it's quite nice here today. Three dogs for a walk this morning. I'm doing good so far.
Now you have three dogs.
Yeah, I do.
What kind of dogs are they?
Yes.
What kind of dogs do you have?
What kind? I have, they're all pretty much mixes. One of them's a kind of a Chihuahua. One of them's kind of an Akita.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is a really brassy Maltese, which I think that's, you know, if you're a dog person, that's kind of the breed is very, they're known to be aggressive little dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to kind of keep him in check. But he pretty much runs a house. So, yeah, I'm definitely a dog person. I love my dogs.
Well, my dog Lucy is actually here with me as I interview you, and she's a Lazapoo, and she said that she told me to say hi, you know.
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy, I love Lucy, and she's a wonderful dog, and she just told me to stay away from those other dogs. She hates dogs. Lucy only likes humans. She will not go near another dog.
She would have a problem in my house.
She would, because
she would,
you know, something, dogs come over here all the time to visit, and she growls at them. She does not like dogs. And I believe it's because she thinks she's human and likes to sit at the kitchen table and have her own, you know, plate, and, you know, she just...
You know, I growl at people usually when I meet them, so I can understand that.
Well, yeah, I do too, because people aren't as nice as dogs are, for the most part.
That's right.
You know? There are some bad dogs around, too, but it's mostly bad owners, not bad dogs.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about your musical background. You're from L.A. When did you start playing, and how did you learn?
I actually started playing music and writing music when I was a little girl. I had two parents that were very musically inclined. My mother sang, had this beautiful operatic voice, and my father played piano and had a jazz rehearsal trio that he would bring over to the house. So probably when I was about, I don't know, 10, we always had instruments around. Probably when I was about 10, he used to bring a priest that was down the street that played the drums over, and he would sit down, and he had this beautiful blue sparkle drum kit in the living room, and one day he asked me if I wanted to sit down and play it, and I was all over it. I don't even think I could reach the pedals, Mark. I was all over that drum set. I loved it. So my first love, needless to say, was playing the drums. And since we had a piano and guitars in the house, I just started writing immediately just silly, stupid songs from, you know, when you're a kid and mm-hmm. you write about things that you have no idea what you're writing about.
Yeah. Have you revisited those tunes at all?
I have, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do that.
I actually have. Some of them I even have replayed, and I think one of them I did at a show one night just for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I revisited some of the stuff I've written years ago, too, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, you're a poet, right?
I am a poet, but I used to write lyrics and songs as well, and
nice.
Performed in a band, and it's kind of funny to listen to the teenage songs, and of course they have that 60s sound, because everything I wrote was 60s kind of music in the background, you know.
Isn't it fun though to listen to? I still have probably 300 cassette tapes underneath my bed in a box of half written songs from when I was a kid.
Yeah, I offered my music to the U.S. government to play over it in Iraq and Afghanistan if they want to torture the people there, but they turned it down. So. I thought it might actually be helpful to torture people into giving up information.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So now...
I heard they stopped that, though, so you might not want to send them.
Yeah, they did stop that, yeah. Well, George Bush would have done it. But now, you were an accomplished drummer, like, at 16 years old, and when did you first see that you could make a success out of music?
I still haven't.
Are you still working on it now?
I'm still working on that one. You know what? I just played because I, for some reason, I had to. I also grew up in a real chaotic environment, and so it was, for me, the reasons for doing it at first were not, like I see kids today kind of get into the music business because it's so kind of in your face in our society and the whole idol thing and all of that, and then we look and we think, oh, that's what I want to be. But for me, it wasn't so much like that. It was that I kind of fell in love with just the feeling of playing music, to just do it. So I started out just, did it for years because I couldn't stop doing it, and it helped me as well with my environment because it was a really, really good release for me. I didn't know that then, but now I do.
Now, what was wrong with your environment? Didn't you grow up in like Orange County?
No, I grew up in Los Angeles.
Orange County is not in part of L.A.?
No, it's just a different L.A.
What do I know? I'm from Boston. I don't know.
No.
I just know that you were in the band Sideswipe, and that you would name one of the greatest bands ever in Orange County. So.
Yes, and I moved to Orange County actually when I was in that band, and some of the members were from Orange County, and we had fun live. That's we just had so much fun live, and so we were kind of known for being a really fun live band.
Yeah, you know, you actually went to the legendary Percussion Institute of Technology.
I did.
I didn't know that existed. I thought it was like one of those things on TV. Hey, you want to be a drummer? Don't sit down in that chair anymore. Get up and join the Percussion Institute of Technology. That's not the same place, though.
That's right. And your drum set is free. It's actually a school that started in, I believe, the early 80s or late 70s, but probably the early 80s. And, it was actually, it was a real small school, and there was a lot of composers and jazz musicians that taught there. When it got big, you know, they fired a lot of the early guys, and it was kind of a controversy that went on. But in the beginning, I was lucky enough to get in early before they sold the school and experience some of the composers, and that's where I met Robin Ford and had a lot of really good surroundings there. And I then ended up teaching there for a summer session before I started gigging, before I left there.
Okay? Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah,
Well, that was weird. It sounded like it cut out for a second.
It sounded like you disappeared. I thought actually you had a sudden seizure, maybe from my commercial endorsement or something. I don't know, but
here.
You did the Sideswipe thing. Are you still part of that band, or are you on your own now, 100%?
No, I've been on my own 100%, and I love it because I wrote a lot for that band.
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of the tunes for that band, and so it was kind of a natural, progression for me to leave. And I was involved with one of the other members of the band, so that was kind of a natural progression to leave that. So yeah, so it was, and it felt really good to do too, to go out and put a record out and see what it felt like just to do the entire thing. And of course, by then they had home versions of Pro Tools as well. So
yeah,
it was a lot easier and a lot less expensive to go out and do your own thing.
As a songwriter, what inspires you to write? I know that one of your songs, "Man with a Gun," was inspired by you getting held up at gunpoint. But is it usually life situations, emotional situations? What is it that
always? I've always written from experiences that I've had, just personal experience. I've written songs about breakups, about love. About some people think that some of my songs are like political songs, and I don't know that I've ever really written a political song for that purpose. But if something happened politically might find its way into a song like "Man with a Gun." There's a lot of things that have to do with politics. And somebody once asked me if "Man with a Gun" was an anti-war song. Which it is not, absolutely. It's just
it's anti-poverty.
It covers so much
anti-poverty
ground.
Anti-poverty, it seems to me, more than anything else. It's an anti-poverty and situation of growing up like that. And the cycle of hate.
There's so much involved. And, you know, and that kind of happens in a lot of the songs I write. I'll start writing just words because I'm a big fan of words. I'm sure you as a poet and a songwriter understand that. Just the way that they flow and fit together and, you know, move through each other. And so I'll just start singing a phrase and all of a sudden something will come out that I've experienced of that phrase. Mm. You know, so.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff. Now, what started you getting involved in terms of the New Orleans situation, and how did you connect with Gracie?
Grace and I had known each other because we collaborated on some stuff. She had sent me some lyrics. We met through a friend, and she heard some of my stuff, and one day she approached me with some lyrics she had, and I was working on my record on What is a Saint, and she said, use a line, you know, throw them away, use a whole page, whatever you want. She sent me like 10 pages of really cool stuff. So I was just about finished with this record, and I had a couple of songs that needed some lyrics kind of inserted in certain places. So I did that with her lyrics, and it was really, really cool, and it was really an honor to be able to do that. And so some of her lyrics are on the record, What is a Saint? And then when, you know, a year later, when the whole thing happened with BP, Grace called me and said, I don't know what to do. I feel like I need to do something, but it's not like you can just, you know, walk over somewhere and, at least in this country, and hand them a pocket of cash, you know. you gotta make sure that the government's okay. And so she said, well, I wrote these lyrics. Would you put words to them, or would you put music to them? And I said, absolutely, I'm there 100%. So that's kind of how it started, and then it grew from there.
Well, the song turned out to be a great one, and she gives you credit for bringing a lot of those people on board who sang on it. In fact, she said you brought the recording stuff right to her house for her.
I did. I said, if you will sing on the song, because, you know, she's been in retirement for, she's painting then. She paints very well, and so she's been doing that and not doing music. And I said, I will bring the studio to you if you will sing back up on this song. And she said, all right, let's go for it. So, yes, we brought a Mac.
Yeah.
and GarageBand, and we recorded Grace in her house. And it was great.
When you brought Bill and Martha and all the other folks on there, did you do the same? Did you go to the house, or did they meet you somewhere else?
Some of them I went to their houses. Some came to my studio, and a couple people sent their parts. I talked to them over the phone, and then since they were on tour, Bill Medley was on tour, as was Larry Hansen, and they both contributed parts together. They just went into a studio one day. Larry's a friend of mine. He said, well, I'm on tour with Bill, so I'll take him in the studio and we'll go. And, you know, Larry and Bill were, as was everybody else, extremely willing to donate for free their parts, like, on the spot. So it was cool.
Very cool. I understand that your studio is in your bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sitting in it right now looking at, you know, walls of guitars that every one of them I use. Never keep a guitar that I don't use.
I used to use a line years ago, you know, we can make beautiful music together, come with me. But you actually can use that line legitimately now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's pretty cool because I can sit and create and not be on studio time and pay, you know, have to pay someone for studio time now. All the gear here, that's not big, it's a bedroom, but it's, you know, it's got everything I need, and I've done now almost 2 records on it.
Have you considered producing someone else's there too, besides your own stuff?
Yeah, I have a couple of, you know, I'm helping a couple of kids, one in particular who is a really great songwriter and great singer, and you know, because don't have the money to go into a studio and record, sometimes we'll just come over here and put stuff down. I've done that a few times where I've just had kids come over and go, okay, let's record you and do your thing. And then, and I love doing that. In terms of producing other bands, I don't have the gear. I have two friends who own studios, bigger studios that, you know, have all the gear to record a band that would want a professional studio setting with a drum room and vocal booth. I mean, I use my bathroom a lot. I use for recording. And I use, I have a drum set in my room, but when it comes to really getting the types of sounds that other people might want, you know, I need a bigger room. I need a bigger box, basically.
Well, there you go. I think that she's going to need a bigger house. So I was going to say people should buy the download, but that helps the fund, the Greater New Orleans Foundation's Gulf Coast Oil Spill Fund. So instead of doing that, you could do that, but also go to iTunes and CD Baby and buy all of Michelle's stuff. That would make more sense. Now, I understand also that you have you've done a lot of stuff for film and TV at this point, right?
I have. I've been fortunate with, I work with one songwriter who's really great, Mason with Songrunners, and he has worked with a lot of film companies, so he's kind of the go-between for me that I really use when something is to be placed. When he needs something for a certain film, if it's within my genres, you know, he'll call me and say, do you have anything that, you know, in this vein? Which is great, and I've had some stuff placed with both film and TV. It's very difficult now, though, Mark, because the getting paid is getting a lot more difficult because a lot of musicians are doing it, songwriters are doing it for free for exposure.
Right.
And it are being taken advantage of. And there's this thing called royalty-free music right now that people are taking advantage of. So I urge anybody who is being wooed for royalty-free music to check it out before you do it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that I've been, I've had a couple of really, I learned the hard way how to get the licensing thing done right, because there are some people out there that really want to take advantage of songwriters and not pay them.
That's been a lifelong situation.
Mm-hmm.
There are companies out there that love to rip people off, and you just got to be so careful.
Yeah, especially with the internet now and internet law. There's not a whole lot of internet laws for a lot of the things yet that are going down. So with internet, it's like, woo, we got to really be crazy. I have a copyright specialist. My keyboard player is a copyright specialist.
Mm-hmm. That's a good. That's handy.
So she's really handy.
Well, so now, if folks want to listen to your music and things like that, do you have a website they can visit?
I do. It's michellemangione.com, and that's Michelle with two L's, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Mangione, M-A-N-G-I-O-N-E.com, and no relation to Chuck, because people ask.
No relation to Chuck, huh?
Mm. No. Nope.
Have you met him?
None whatsoever. I have not. I've met his brother, Gap. Gap emailed me not too long ago, and no, I've never met Chuck, but I used to listen to him when I was a kid. Well, of course, because we had the same name. And I liked his songwriting.
I think you should come up with a song that sounds like this. Do, 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 da, 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 da,
da,
da, da, da. That would be really cool and original, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get on that.
Get right on it. As soon as you hang up the phone, just hang up and start working on that. No lyrics, though. And call it Feels So Good.
Feels So Good.
Just comes to my mind, that's all. Okay?
Should I have Grant Geisman play guitar on it?
I think so. And I think you should get the Percussion Institute of Technology involved as well. Because, you know, they're really, they're big time.
And I'll tell you something funny, Mark, is that at the end of that, my stay there at Percussion Institute of Technology,
mm-hmm.
they actually gave me a plaque that said, you are now a professional musician.
Really?
Yeah. So they didn't have degrees back then. Now they give kids degrees at the school, but...
See, I got my original degree at RIT, the Radio Interviewer Institute of Technology. that was my original school. And
I understand now they have the Tambourine Institute of Technology as well, which is really kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like the way that spells. And they probably record in their bedrooms as well, I'll bet. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe in their bathrooms. I don't know. But Michelle Mangione is a fascinating individual, a very, very talented young lady, and you can actually visit her and see her her lovely pictures. I don't have an autograph one yet on my wall, but there's a space for it. It's www.michelle.mangione, M-A-N-G-I-O-N-E.com. And don't forget now, folks, to go visit the museum site, which is... GrammyMuseum.org, and download The Edge of Madness, which Michelle wrote the music for, and Grace the lyrics, which will benefit the Greater New Orleans Foundation's Gulf Coast Oil Spill Fund. That was in one breath. Not bad, Mark. Hey, you're going to get an A on that quiz.
Thank you.
So that's a good thing.
And we're going to New Orleans, actually. Well, I am with my band to do a benefit as well in October.
Now, you said you're going to New Orleans. Is it New Orleans or is it New Orleans?
I have no idea. I've never been there in my life, but...
It must be New Orleans, because a lot of people talk like that. You know, I'm going to New Orleans, you know?
Maybe that's just, yeah, that could be a California accent thing.
It could be a California accent thing. I shouldn't really make fun of it, but I could.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, the Lakers and the Red Sox and the Lakers and Celtics have battled for many years, so we have to get back into that. Are you a basketball fan or a sports fan at all?
I'm not. I'm so bad at being a sports fan that I root for whoever's winning. I'm like, the better team's going to win today. That's what kind of fan I am. I'm sorry.
So while you're watching the game, what if the team that's winning starts losing? Do you then switch allegiances?
Yep.
Just
absolutely.
Wondering. The way Michelle Mangione watches sports, it's another interesting topic here on PMP Network. We'll have to do a whole show on that. You know, maybe we can have Grace draw an artist's conception of you watching the teams.
Right. And that's really difficult when you're watching tennis, too, because it's constantly changing.
Oh, I hate that. I don't like watching tennis or golf on TV.
Golf, yeah.
Golf is like the most boring thing.
The newspaper.
It's disgusting. Who watches golf? I don't understand why people can watch golf on TV. He's walking down the fairway now, and as you can see, he has tan pants on, and... it's ridiculous.
I always wonder if that guy talks like that when he gets home from work.
He probably does. You know, when I get home and I say, hey, come on, hey. You know, that's why I talk to the dog. I talk to Lucy like that. Tell Lucy, hey, Lucy, what's going on? So she told me again. She said, make sure your dogs stay away, particularly the Pomeranian.
Oh.
Yeah, she doesn't like Pomeranians at all. Pomeranians are tough. They pick on big dogs.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh, and they don't know how little they are. They really don't.
No, that's because they have no idea. But they think they're tough though.
They could teach us something about attitude, definitely.
That's true. You know, sometimes you're only as big as you feel.
That's right.
Yes, I learned from the Pomeranians. In fact, my new book, Learning from the Pomeranians, will be out soon. I'm looking forward to promoting it on your show. In the bathroom and in your bedroom studio.
We'll start a blog. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, do you have a blog on the michellemangione.com site?
I just started one. I just basically put it on. To tell you the truth, I didn't set up my site, so I'm not sure how it actually works, but I'm pretty sure there's one on the site right now that people can go to. And, you know, I'm also on YouTube, so there's a few different places where people can blog.
Are you on Facebook, too?
Yes, I am.
Did you friend me yet?
I don't think so.
I'm really saddened by that.
I don't know because I'm not. Again, I'm not. I don't maintain it myself. Somebody else does. I just.
Oh really? So you actually don't go on your own Facebook page?
Well, I do, but I'm really bad at it. I'm really bad when it comes to Facebook and my space or whatever. And Twitter and all those things.
Yeah.
I have a girl that's really good at that knows, and so unless I have to, I get all the emails when people actually post things, so I can respond.
Yeah.
Which is good, but I don't know how any of that stuff works, Mark. I mean.
That's interesting. Well, see, I was going to send you a little message saying, "Hey, how are you on your Facebook today?" And then this girl will see it and go, "Who's that guy? What kind of weird guy is he?
Yeah,
he must be one of her friends from the School of Technology." You know.
I'll be able to respond. I promise you that.
We'll see. But I want folks out there to go there to michellemangione.com and, send messages over there because, she won't be able to return them. So it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Now, I won't make everybody send something because then you get like 7 million messages. It might blow your site out. That wouldn't be good.
No, actually, that would be great.
Would it really? Okay.
7
well.
Million messages. Maybe, yeah.
I wouldn't want 7
In
million
fact,
on mine.
There's a band page, I think.
Yeah. We had 100 million hits so far on pmpnetwork.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's over a lot of years. If it was at one time, there wouldn't be any pmpnetwork.com. It would be exploded or imploded or something.
Right.
But,
no, it's hard to do. People specialize just in that, and it's crazy to me, which is which is kind of cool as an independent songwriter, because we have those out, you know, we have Facebook pages and we have all of those different ways of reaching people.
Yeah.
But man, maintaining them?
Well, the other thing is that you can reach people that way, but it's harder to make money that way. It actually
Absolutely.
Costs money. So it's a little different. But folks, if you want to check out What is a Saint, the most recent CD of Michelle's, you can do that at her site as well. And it's a pleasure talking to you. I hope we can do it again sometime, actually, when I've learned all your music and know it by heart.
Well, you will have it in the near future.
Because I'm going to use it at the Snyder Musical Institute of Technology. Smith will be talking about it there.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, Michelle. It was a pleasure.
All right.
Take care.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.